And a beautiful Arizona good morning to you all. Welcome to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years with your host, Rosie Romero. I'm Romy. Jennifer, my mom, Rosie's wife, is behind the glass next to Mike. And as we make our way around the side gate here in the Outdoor Living Hour, we find Mr. John J. Harper out in the garden. And he looks like he's got a little bit of nightshade going on.
Yeah, unlike our friend Tom Brady, I do eat nightshades. And this is the first weekend that we really advocate starting to plant nightshades. Oh, in case you didn't realize, tomatoes are what we're talking about, basically. Peppers as well, but another couple weeks before peppers. But you were telling me, Rosie, that there was a story that Tom Brady does not eat any nightshade vegetables.
Apparently he's more into lemongrass.
Wow. Okay, so nightshade, everybody out there is going, what's a nightshade vegetable? Just like you all did, right? So tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, potatoes, white, not sweet potatoes, but regular white Irish-type potatoes are all in that Solanaceae family or nightshade family. So this is tomato planting weekend, the big weekend to kick it off, Super Bowl weekend, tomato planting weekend. So don't be like poor Tommy Brady and
deprive yourself
of a good homegrown tomato. We've got a couple hundred plants in the last couple days and wide selection of varieties from heirlooms to celebrities and champions and early girls and Hickman's compost and Hickman's fertilizer, and we're ready to roll, and we have hot dogs and horticulture today to celebrate it. So
that's right, first Saturday of the month.
So you can have some nightshade juice ketchup on your hot dog as well. So, yeah, it's time. So if you haven't gotten the ground ready, or if you haven't gotten your garden kind of tilled up, or maybe you're still kind of in the throes of your winter garden, you've still got, you know, lettuces and broccolis and cabbage and Brussels sprouts and turnips and beets, you need to find a place to start sticking some tomato plants in. It's time. The single biggest key to success for growing tomatoes in Phoenix, Arizona, is getting them in as early as you can.
Mm.
Single biggest key. Better, more important than soil preparation, fertilizer, is getting them in early. I'm convinced of that.
And you've only been doing this for three generations, so you kind of have a little bit of history with trying.
Yeah, back in the day, my mom's dad, my maternal grandfather, would plant Pearson tomatoes about the third week of January, and he would put a little hot cap over every one of them, you know, which was a kind of a waxed paper, opaque paper, looked like a hat. And you'd plant your tomatoes, and you go back and put a little hot cap over them, throw some soil around the little fringe of it or the edge of it to hold it down. And then as they grew a little bit, you'd slit the sides up a little bit. And then as they kind of grew big enough to start growing through that slit of the side, you'd pull them off, and away you went. So that's back when we had a lot more cold weather than we seem to have these days. But
and that was Pearson's?
He grew Pearson's. That's a good old variety, too. But there's so many anymore, and if you ask 10 people, you get 25 different answers as to what their favorite tomato is. So the favorite tomato is the one that you can grow and be successful with. So that's
and that you'll eat.
And that you'll eat.
When would you be harvesting tomatoes? Planting now. You're not planting the seed. You're planting a
starter.
I'm
talking about started plants. Yeah.
So they're like 6 inches tall?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you would start probably, you should have some ripe tomatoes in maybe the end of March, 1st of April.
Okay.
Yep.
And that plant will produce till Halloween?
Well, no. What gets them is the heat, the hot nights. So once we get those monsoon hot nights where the temperatures don't get below 85 or 90 degrees, the pollen then is no longer viable. They just won't. Oh. They won't pollinate. They won't set fruit. And then generally the heat stress on the plants becomes too great. In my opinion, it's not worth carrying them through. I think it's a waste of water and space to try and get tomato plants to be what they're not. They're an annual. They should grow, bloom, set fruit, and die in a season, They shouldn't live for 2 or 3 years.
How much is a 6-inch starter tomato plant?
Anywhere from a couple bucks to $3 or $4.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like you're. It's a big economic hardship.
Watering it.
Yeah. You're gonna burn way more than a couple dollars in water trying to get them through July and August and into September. So.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you have a landscape or gardening question. In addition to tomatoes, there's a lot of other things we can start getting ready for.
Yeah, I mean, peppers are going to be right around, you know, another they're a little more heat tolerant, so we can back the calendar up with peppers, and then squashes and melons and okra and cucumbers and, you know, all of those. And you can still be doing some of the faster growing root crops like radishes and carrots. You could still do some leaf lettuce, you know, so the leafy greens you can still keep doing. And of course, we mentioned eggplant earlier. Eggplant's a good going into the hot weather. What am I forgetting? Oh, beans, corn. So just, you know, all kinds of stuff. Really, the warm season vegetables are the things that you actually pick a fruit off of generally and eat. So, you know, something that's tangible that you can go out there and pick off of. It's not a part of the plant that you're eating, like a leaf or a root or a part of the stem. Those are generally our winter vegetables. So that's just one way to kind of remember it. But generally all of those, with a few exceptions, are going to do better when we say warm. We're not talking about scalding hot season vegetables. We're talking about warm season vegetables. So they want to start getting those off the vine and picked before it gets just brutally hot. So getting them all in as early as you can is good. Then if you want things that will go through the really stinky hot part of the summer, okra, eggplant, Malabar spinach, you know, some of the beans, you know, there's some things that will work for you, but most of this stuff you want to have in and ready and picked and be harvesting by probably mid to late June, and then you're kind of done.
And a couple of weeks ago, Rosie was ready to call it that we were beyond frost warning, and I wasn't quite ready yet, and we got really close after that rain, and you know, it's always a few days after the rain when that ground's still really moist, and there was dew out on the field. But I think I'm ready to call it now.
We did have some frost damage on a few little tender things, basil, some of the sweet potato, ornamental sweet potato that had gone through the winter a week or so ago, right after that last storm. A little black foliage on some stuff. Certainly nothing killing, and I don't think it damaged any of the hardy ornamental stuff. It was the real tender stuff. Well, kind of next, you know, Valentine's Day, which is only 2 weeks off, is kind of our last average frost date for the low desert, for the Phoenix area. So we're getting pretty close. And I think 80s next week, I saw one forecast. It's got us in the 80s. So more than likely, we're probably done. I just hope we keep getting some of these storms. I see where the Salt River Project watershed is anywhere from 100% to 150% of normal.
I didn't have
Horseshoe is spilling. So Bartlett will be full soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're in the best shape we've been in a long time in our water situation.
It's going to be a great spring to whitewater raft Arizona if you've never done that before. The Colorado, which a lot of those are probably already booked up. Some of those book up a year or two in advance.
Our friend at Arizona River Runner says they have just got a couple seats all summer left right now.
And they run a ton
of seats.
And then you've got the Salt River, which I actually enjoy. That one gets overlooked a lot because of the Grand Canyon, and rightfully so, but that's still a fun trip. I remember that one in the Boy Scouts. But another fun one is, as far as I know, there aren't any charter services for it. You have to do it solo, but you've got plenty of places you can rent kayaks or rafts, is the Verde. We've put in at Camp Verde and paddled all the way down to Horseshoe before. That's a really fun trip. It'll be a great year. You're in
wild country there.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. It's fun just being in areas where you feel like no man's ever been before. Being down in that canyon and not being able to see a glow of any city from any direction, it's That's a great adventure. So lots of water, but it doesn't mean we can just go out there and waste. Have you turned your irrigation back on?
I mowed my lawn last night when I got home and watered my lawn for the first time in almost 2 months.
I left to Tucson on Thursday, and I turned on my citrus for just 3 hours on slow drip as I left.
Yeah, first time in, since way before Christmas that I've watered my lawn. I still haven't watered trees and shrubs.
Maybe we'll save our 10% this year, right?
I hope so. Well, it's going.
As long as you can keep your lines from breaking.
Right, right, exactly.
That was what really got it for both of y'all. You had a 10% reduction, and the...
And I may still have, even with the break, I still may have made the 10% savings. I have not seen the December water bill. But the goal was to save 10% of your water consumption over the course of the year. If everyone in Maricopa County saved 10%, it'd be enough water to provide everyone with the water they needed for another year. Imagine that.
Just keep buying years.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
So, I'm very anxious to see.
You realize, though, that we, and I don't know if it's Maricopa County or if it's Salt River Project or, you know, if it's, we use the same amount of water right now as we did in the 50s.
I know. Exactly the same amount. Incredible statistic.
Yeah. So, congratulations. Everybody is doing a much better job, but we can do better.
We can. And like you said, if we don't take it upon ourselves to do it, they're going to start regulating it to do it. So keep the regulators out of it. Just be diligent yourself. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923. Or if you need plant and insect identification, email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com.